Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible and you want to give us a call tonight, our phone lines are open. You can call us at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here this evening. And also want to encourage you to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And by way of praise, we appear to be back up online. I was just checking before, actually just checking as we were getting ready to come on air. Our website has been down. The whole server has been down, and don't know what exactly was going on. I know there's been a number of cyber attacks on a number of Christian sites here in the past week or so, and might be tied in with the push in Iran here during Ramadan, of course, in Islam. I think they're coming into the last few days of Ramadan, and there's usually a lot of terrorist activity that takes place as you get closer to the end of Ramadan, and especially the last week or so. It's one website I know keeps tabs on them, a website called The Religion of Peace, and they keep a score, the Ramadan Bombathon, that takes place during the Muslim festival of Ramadan. And of course, Iran was calling for cyber attacks on Israel and the United States, parts of Europe, things like that, and different things. So it was kind of interesting the last several days. I'm trying to think when it was that I noticed that our websites were down, and I couldn't even email the people who host the site, their tech support. All of it was down. It would always bounce back. Server unknown. Domain unknown, something like that, different variations on that. So I'm thankful that we're at least partly back up and running here with our website tonight. It's not completely back up. I noticed that we have our homepage livewithpastoral.com, and I encourage you to check us out there, but not all the pictures are loading there at livewithpastoral.com. Some of the pictures are, some of them aren't. But it's better than what it was actually just a few hours ago. I checked it out. I think it was a little before 8 o'clock, and it still didn't come up at all. And now at least there's something there, and so that's nice. That's an improvement. It's a step in the right direction. And I noticed that our page for our church is up and running now, and like I said, just got a chance to look at it, and I noticed there's a couple things that aren't loading on that page just yet, but it looks like it's mostly there. And then we have another page that I have a number of articles linked on, and actually just 5 minutes ago, it was still saying that they couldn't find anything. And now it's partly up. So as we speak, it's coming back up. So I'm thankful for that. And hopefully here by the end of the program, it'll all be back up and running. But, you know, we live in interesting times. And interesting times isn't always a great thing. Hey, just as I was watching, it just refreshed and popped up with the latest article that I have listed there at This one here, you can link to it from livewithpastoral.com. It's called pg.maplenoel.us is what the link is. I usually just give livewithpastoral.com. People click on the links there. It takes you over there. But in my article, the stone was rolled away not to let Jesus out, but to let us in. That just popped up along with all the other articles and all. And so that was pretty good. Watching that in real time, coming back up online. Maybe you've had some experiences with some of these things too. There's a number of things, like I said, going on. And during this time, of Ramadan, there's certainly a lot of attacks leveled against Christian and Jewish interests online, against Israeli and American sites and things like that. So continue to pray. And hopefully we will be back up and running on all these things. Let's see. I got excited seeing all these things. I hope you had a good day today. We had a busy day. We had a fellowship. It was an anniversary of 1 year in our building where we meet. I've been saying our new meeting place, but I guess now that we've been there for a year, I can stop saying our new meeting place. But we were there a year on April 1st. We moved in April 1st last year. And God, just provided a way for us. It is exciting to see how He did that. And now, of course, we have kind of got settled in and got things put together. Still a lot to do. In fact, I was talking with somebody after church this morning about some things that we still would like to accomplish, but it's coming along, and we're so thankful. A lot of our listeners know that before that, we were in a hotel room, and the hotel room, we went there because some years ago, we were meeting in a building. It wasn't our building. We rented it, and the owners lost the building, and when they lost the building, we essentially lost a place to meet. And so we were praying, looking for a place that we could go into and a place that we can afford, that we could stay in the Richfield area, which is where we're at. And we wound up in the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, and we were there for on a temporary basis for 13 years. And last year in March, we found out about the place that we're at now. In fact, the rent was such that we thought it was a typo, and a gentleman in our church knew the owner, contacted him, found out it wasn't a typo, and that he was interested in renting to us. And so we ended up working everything together, and we were only waiting on the occupancy permit. And from the time that we had moved out of the old building that we were in until we moved into the new building, I had a bunch of chairs from the church stored in my basement and things in my garage. I had a pulpit in the garage. I had other stuff. We had a whole bunch of things. So we didn't get rid of everything because we knew and we hoped that one day we would be in our own place. So we wanted to have things so that we would be up and running right away. So we just basically had to start cleaning stuff up because, storing stuff in the basement in the garage for a few years, it tends to get a little on the dirty side. So we're cleaning and scrubbing stuff, and it's getting to the end of March last year, and we didn't have a building permit in hand, an occupancy permit in hand. We were hoping that we would have it, certainly by mid to late April. We were pretty sure that that would be the case, but we were kind of holding out hope that we might be able to get in the 1st of April, but that, realistically, that didn't seem to be the likely thing. But on the 31st of April, that was a Thursday afternoon, I felt led of the Lord to go down to Richfield Village offices and go in and just to see if I could find out if they had any idea when that we might have the occupancy permit, because I figured, well, if they can tell me, yeah, it'll be a couple of weeks yet, we could plan accordingly. And I have to say, the folks at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, they were very supportive, and they worked with us, and they said, listen, no hurry, no worries. You know, if you have to keep me here for a few days, we're not going to schedule things and take over, get rid of your spot that you have. And so we kept them apprised of what we were doing. And I went into the offices on Thursday afternoon, March the 31st last year, and walked in the office, and the building zoning guy comes in and asked what I was doing. I told him who I was, and I just get a question about our occupancy permit. He looks down on the paper, shuffles a couple of papers, and he pulls up our occupancy permit application. He goes, is this you? I said, yeah. He asked me a few questions and then made a few notes on it, signed it, and said, here you go. And we had an occupancy permit. I walked out, got into my car in the parking lot, thank God for the occupancy permit, promptly took a picture of it and sent it to my wife, called my wife and said, it's not an April Fool's Day joke. Tomorrow for our Friday night Bible study, we'll be in the new facility. And then started contacting other people that go to our church, go to our Bible study, and again told them, it's not an April Fool's Day joke. We are going to be April 1st in the new facility. And so it was exciting to be able to do that. And that day, you know, we were making a lot of preparations and things. And thankfully, the owner of the building had let us move some stuff in previously. We'd already had the inspections from the fire department and different things. And so we were all set. And we moved in. We had our first Friday night. And we had begged and borrowed a few tables so that we could have enough. We had a bunch of chairs. Like I said, my basement, I had a ton of chairs. I think I had 40-some stacked chairs. And we brought them in, and we got them all set up. We had some tables. We had the pulpit that was in my garage, different things, cleaning all that up, got it set up in there. And we had our Friday night Bible study. It was, I don't know if it was that week or a week or so, like maybe another week later or something like that, we had somebody that said, we'd like to help you out. What do you need? And we said, well, we really need folding tables. We had a few. We borrowed a number of them and said that, you know, most of these tables are only on loan and that we've got to eventually get enough tables. And he said, well, how many do you need? And we said, well, let's see, counting around, said we could use 8. And he goes, all right, let's buy 8 tables. And he bought 8 tables for us. And it was nice because they were actually delivered. We ordered them online right there and delivered them at my house. The delivery truck came. They backed into my driveway. And I have a small pickup truck. And they backed up and they took them off from the delivery truck, set them right in the back of my pickup truck. And after they left, I drove my truck up to the new building, and we brought in the tables and set them up. And what a difference that made. We got sent back the borrowed tables and everything. And then a couple months went by, and we needed some more chairs, and we needed some different things. And we had a lady in our church who found some chairs being sold by a church out toward Medina. And they had 40-some chairs available, and they were nice cushioned, upholstered cushioned chairs with a little holder in the back, you know, for Bibles and songbooks, and they were the kind that hooked together where you can hook a whole row together. And we were thinking, well, what are we going to do? How are we going to get all these chairs together? And they actually gave us a good deal on the chairs, which saved us a lot of money. And a guy at church had a van, just a regular standard van, and fortunately had no seats or anything, and it was just like a cargo space in the back. And we thought, well, let's see if we can get the chairs in there. We went over, got the chairs. We started packing. I think it took us over an hour. We got them all in there. We shifted them around. We moved them around. It was like we shook and packed and shook some more and got everything packed in. And we were down to where we only had one chair to go. I know the guy at the church was looking at us thinking, well, you got more faith than I do that those chairs are going to get in there. To this day, we joke thinking, well, I don't know, did the Lord shrink the chairs or enlarge the van or a little of each? But we poked and we pushed and we shifted, and we were just able to close the door with the last chair in there. Brought all the chairs back, set them up, and it was a real blessing. So it was exciting over this past year seeing what God has done. Of course, then different people have been visiting and all. And so it's been a real blessing, have a chance to have a place of our own. And it's just like our meal that we had today. We didn't have to worry about the hotel schedule. We actually were able to take stuff up last night beforehand, put it in the refrigerator and get it all set. And in the hotel, we had to work around their schedule. And there was one other group that had been meeting there longer than we had. And so they would have priority on the schedule because they met there the longest. And sometimes we would plan to do something only to find out that that group was going to be using the room. And then we would have to revamp our schedule and all sorts of things. The number of people been there with us down through the years. But what a blessing to get in there, get our own place, and say, but it's just a small commercial piece. Yes, but it's our small commercial spot, and we're able to use it 24/7, and it's exciting. And so the last year has been a real blessing to be able to have that. We're able to do more. We've been expanding things that we do and opportunities that we have. And it's just been a blessing to see God work over this last year. And so now we're looking forward, if the Lord tarries in his coming, to see how much longer or how much more we can do before the Lord comes back for us. But in the meanwhile, we're supposed to be faithful to do the work that God's called us to do and wherever he's placed us to do. We had a purpose for being in the hotel for a time, and we're thankful for it. God gave us some opportunities in the hotel to minister to people who were passing through, either staying at the truck stop, visiting the truck stop that was next to us, or staying in the hotel or one of the surrounding hotels. We had a truck driver one time pulled into the truck stop next to us and said that he was looking for a church. He went online, and he said his thing said there was a church 50 feet from him. He thought, that can't be so. And he was parked on the edge of the parking lot there that was closest to where the hotel was. And he said, all I can see is a hotel. And then he clicked on our link for our website and found that we met at the hotel that he was looking at. And so he came over and visited us. And we had some other people do that. And now we're in a place of our own. We're just a few miles south of where we were. We used to direct people to get off at the exit by the Ohio Turnpike on Interstate 77, because that's right where we were. But now we're a little further south where 77 and 271 meet. And we direct people down that way. People come in 271, they get off there, get off 77 there. And we are right in that little spot on Wheatley Road, which is State Route 176, and it actually becomes Broadview Road when you go north. But we meet at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 there in Richfield. And we're midway between Akron and Cleveland, and we're excited about the opportunity to continue to serve the Lord from that location. So do pray for us if you're in the area and looking to visit sometime. We've had some people that said, well, I couldn't find you. They were looking for a church building. You're not going to find a church building. You'll see a small commercial strip, and we are sandwiched right between a place that does ladies' hair and a women's fitness center. I don't know what that means, but we're right between them. There's also a Chinese restaurant, a Subway, and a coffee shop there, and a dentist office and things like that. So if you're looking for a church building with a steeple, you probably won't find us. But if you look for a commercial space with a couple of restaurants and haircutting places and things like that and fitness and coffee and all, while, you'll find us. But again, check us out online. Go to livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can follow the link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. We've got a map there, shows you how to get there, and we would love to have you visit. If you're not going to church and you've got questions about the Bible and what's happening in the world in relation to God's Word, let me invite you to come out to our Friday night Bible study every Friday night from 7 p.m. until 9 p.m., and we just an informal Bible study. We do what we do there became the basis of our radio program, talking about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. It's informal. We have refreshments, and people ask questions, and you know, it's anybody's guess where the conversation and the discussion is going to go. It's always enjoyable. It's one of my favorite services, if you want to call it a service, I guess, one of my favorite meetings, whatever, of the week. And then, of course, we have our regular Sunday services every Sunday there. And I am currently preaching through the Gospel of John on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock, and then Sunday nights at 6 o'clock, our evening service. I am currently preaching through the book of Proverbs, and I enjoy preaching through books of the Bible because preaching books of the Bible forces me to preach the whole counsel of God rather than just the few parts that I like while ignoring or just not happening to get to the parts that I don't enjoy as much. I was just sharing with somebody after church today, preaching through the book of Proverbs has been challenging because there's much of it that I would rather not go, and some of it seems repetitive, talking about wisdom, talking about knowledge, talking about slothfulness, talking about this, talking about that, and it's repeated several times, and obviously it must be for a reason because God put it there. But I said I would probably, if I preached on it once, I'd probably think, well, I don't need to do that again. Let me go talk about creation. Let me go talk about prophecy. Let me go talk about you must be born again. Let me go talk, you know, something that I have more interest in than talking about, you know, how we ought to interact with each other. And of course, that's important, and some people like to spend more time on that than others, but I've noticed that pastors tend to, unless you make the effort to keep it from happening, a lot of pastors tend to end up preaching on maybe 2-3, maybe sometimes 4 or 5 common themes that they just keep coming back to. And I know we just keep coming back to a few things. They say, well, 3, 4, 5 things, that's a lot. I know that's a number of things, but most of them don't get up to that. Usually it's only 2 or 3 things. And I've seen that over the years. And it's easy to do that, especially if you're doing several messages and you get pressed for time. And so you kind of go back to that which is familiar, that which is more your greater interest. And so you keep going back to those things. And it's easy to do that. And I read a book some time ago somebody gave me, and the pastor was talking about being in his study on Saturday evening, and it's like 10 o'clock at night or something, and he still didn't have his Sunday morning message ready, and he was just racking his brains and praying and saying, you know, Lord, how come I can't come up with a topic, a sermon? And he said he looked over on the shelf of some of his books that he had, and he saw a book called Preaching Exponentially Through the Bible, and he picked it up and he started browsing through it. And he said that he began preaching through books of the Bible as a result of that. And he said, you know, I was never stuck on a Friday or on a Saturday night sitting there trying to rack my brain coming up with a topic for the Sunday morning message. He said, because once I started preaching through books of the Bible, it was like I had a never-ending source of material. And it really is true. I mean, it's enjoyable. And I found that not only does it help me in keeping things in context, it helps me to talk about all of the things that are in the Scriptures rather than just the handful of things that I find the most interesting or most enjoyable to preach on. But you know, I do know, on the other hand, there are some pastors who are very skilled at topical preaching, and they manage to keep it fresh, and they manage to cover the whole gamut of what the Bible has to say. But I just like preaching through books of the Bible and knowing, you know, what God has to say. And so if that interests you, and if you're looking for a church that preaches the Bible, perhaps you're in a church that doesn't preach the Bible. And when I talk about the Bible, I talk about preaching the King James Bible. There are reasons for it, a lot of reasons for it. And maybe we'll get into some of those at some time. But got a lot of very valid reasons, not just tradition, but in terms of being able to understand the accuracy of the Scripture and the whole of the Scripture rather than parts or oversimplifications. And so I like preaching through that. And if you're not in a church where you get that and would like to check us out, we'd love to have you visit. We're not trying to steal people from other churches, but we do believe that you should be in a place where you're fed the Word of God. And the reason I say that, I was looking at an article here just recently. We're going to get some of our callers here in just a moment. But I wanted to talk about some of the stuff that was going on here, but with our anniversary and everything going on. But I wanted to mention that there are, what was it, a few months back, earlier last year, we had talked about how that a number of pastors, in fact, the majority of pastors in America did not hold to a biblical worldview. Well, there was an article that I read over the weekend, another poll now, majority of Americans accused churches of abandoning basic tenets of Christianity. And it's just, I guess it just ties in with the previous thing that we looked at. If pastors do not have a Christian worldview, a biblical worldview, then obviously you can see where the churches are drifting away because the pastors are not leading them, into a solid biblical position. Rassman poll found the majority of respondents believe that America is losing, you know, the old-time religion. More than 75% of online poll respondents said that religious faith is important in their daily lives, and adults who attend services at least weekly were most likely to strongly agree that too many religious institutions today are watering down or abandoning their traditional beliefs. That view is shared by 52% of evangelical Christians, and evangelical would include fundamental Christians such as myself and others for their purposes. 34% of Catholics believe that, 30% of Protestants believe that, 41% of Jews believe that about their synagogues. And it's no wonder. They cite some things such as pro-abortion churches in Texas fighting the fetal heartbeat law to protect unborn children, vowing to take God back from the religious right. And then, of course, there are the churches that are hosting what's now called drag queen prayer time for children. And of course, saw a video, somebody showed me a video of a pastor. He's one of these churches where they wear the backward collar. You know, that's usually the white collar with the black and then the white collar showing. And instead of white, it's a rainbow flag. And he's talking about the sin of transphobia and how that God embraces transgenderism. And if you don't, you're sinning. Here's even a better one. Pastor of a liberal church gets fired. At least they fired her after she took the Christian conference attendees to buy things at, let's just say it was an adult shop that she took them to. And this is happening in churches across our country. The left has invaded these churches, and they've exchanged the Trinity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for the Trinity of diversity, acceptance, and social justice. And, of course, the cost? Well, the cost is the basic fundamental tenets of biblical Christianity. Well, I know we've got the break coming up here in just a few minutes, and I want to get to our callers here, so we'll have to pick them up after the break, I think. But you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And as I said, we'll be on until midnight tonight. We will continue with some of these things afterwards, but we got just a couple seconds before the break starts. Wanted to also mention a couple of things that are coming up that you need to be aware of this week in regards to the fight to protect unborn children here in Ohio. There is a move to put an amendment on the ballot in November that will basically codify abortion on demand into the Ohio Constitution. It needs to be fought, and there's something you can do this week. We'll talk about that when we get back. Stay tuned. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word, and spent most of the last half hour talking about some of the things and the way the Lord's blessed our church. We celebrated 1 year in our current location, and what a blessing it has been. But we're going to get into some other stuff here in this half hour. And, of course, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we're brought to you, of course, by the Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. If you go to our website, livewithpastoral.com, that's livewithpastoral.com. You'll be able to find our link to the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. We're also brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza out on Turney Road there on the east side there at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And let them know you heard about them here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And just to let you know, too, if you ever want to get into the pizza business, call East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And talk to Gus, and he can help you get started get started in your own pizza business, not a franchise. He'll help you, and he'll work that out with you, but he can help you get started there. That's East Coast Pizza, 4889 Turney Road, in Garfield Heights, Ohio, 216-341-9100. All right, we're getting back to our program, and I know I've been talking about a number of things. I have to mention this as well before we get to our callers, otherwise I will forget it, and they won't get to it. This is time-sensitive. We don't always try to urge you to contact your state representatives, state senators, and different ones, but this is a case where if you are concerned about unborn children in Ohio. Going into the break, I mentioned that in November, there's an effort to put on the ballot an amendment to the Ohio Constitution that will essentially enshrine abortion into the Ohio Constitution, abortion on demand. It will overturn all of our pro-life laws that we have fought for over the last several decades. It'll overturn parental notification. It'll overturn Ohio's ban on partial birth abortion. It'll overturn Ohio's 20-week abortion ban. It'll overturn Ohio's heartbeat law. I believe Ohio makes it illegal to abort a child simply because you think it might be a Down syndrome baby, and that would be done away with. All of that will be wiped away if the abortion lobby is able to convince enough people to vote for this amendment in November. Now, how much do they need to get this change to the Ohio Constitution? Well, due to progressive activism back, I think it was in the 20s, the 1920s, about 100 years ago, several states, Ohio being one of them, simplified their ability to change the state constitution. Now, if you understand, most states it's a little more difficult. Federal constitution requires a two-thirds majority, and a number of things there, you know, three-fourths, I think, of the states and different things like that. But it's the Constitution. It shouldn't be changed as easily as you would, a code of laws. And they want to put this in because right now, in order to change the Ohio Constitution, you don't need a two-thirds majority. All you need is 50% of the vote plus one vote. They call that 50% plus one, and you can change the Constitution. Now, Michigan did this last November, I believe it was, and they were able to muster 56 or something like that, somewhere around there, 50, maybe it was 57% of the vote. And it's believed that in Ohio that they might get in the low 50s, 52, 53, something like that, perhaps. Even if they don't get that high, as long as they can get 50% of the vote plus one, they will enshrine abortion on demand into the Ohio Constitution. And it once it's in there, then you have to go through a difficult process to get it out. They do not believe that they can get a 60% a majority, and there is a House resolution, House Joint Resolution 1, that will raise the constitutional amendment passage requirement to 60%. And really, that's not even as high as it is in other states or as high as it is for the federal constitution. This bill, though, here's the key, has to be voted on here in the Ohio House by this coming week, the third week of April, in order for the House and the Senate to be able to pass this bill or this resolution to get it on the ballot so it will be on the ballot in August in order for it to be in effect before November. Now, Speaker Stevens, when he worked with the Democrats to overturn the Republican majority, even though he's supposed to be a Republican, I think, again, this is my personal opinion, I think that one of the main reasons that the Democrats, all of the Democrats, voted for Stevens as Speaker of the House is the idea that he would prevent this resolution from taking effect before the abortion amendment takes place. See, if this was on the ballot in November along with the abortion amendment and both of them passed, the abortion amendment would still change the Ohio Constitution because the 60% thing would take, I think, 90 days or so to take effect. So the abortion amendment would be voted on before it takes effect, and so it would be a part of the Constitution. But if it goes on the ballot in August and passes, then the Planned Parenthood, NARAL, all the pro-death camp would have to get a 60% or higher approval to pass their abortion amendment. And they don't believe that they can get that. That's why they're doing everything to prevent this House General Resolution 1 from being on the ballot in August. And Stevens, who killed it in January when it was supposed to be passed so that it would be on the May ballot coming up here in a few weeks, he killed it. And said, "Oh, we need more time," and said that he was supportive of it, but we just need more time. Well, they thought it would be impossible to get it on the ballot before November. They found out, Senate President Huffman found out, that they could get it on for the August election and that it would work. And when he found that out, when Stevens found that out, he said, "No, I'm not bringing it to a vote in the Ohio House, because it's too much money to spend on a special election for this." To which somebody quipped, "I'd rather spend $20 million to save 30 million lives." And yes, it sounds like a battle, or I mean a bargain in that sense. But this is a big state house battle going on right now. You need to call or email or text your state representative down in Columbus right now. You can do this tonight. You don't have to wait for the morning. You can do this tonight. They'll be recorded. They'll be registered by the staff who are manning the offices. They'll see your calls have come in. If you send them a text or an email, they'll see that in the morning when they come in. And there are state representatives who are monitoring this. And if they get enough calls urging them to sign a discharge petition for House General Resolution 1, HJR 1, they sign a discharge petition. This will circumvent the speaker, who will not bring it for a floor vote. They believe they have the votes in the Ohio House to pass it. The Senate believes they have the votes to pass it. It doesn't have to go to the governor's desk. Because it's a joint resolution. The Speaker of the House is trying desperately to keep this from happening. He's putting pressure on people. But if God's people contact their state representative, do it tonight, do it tomorrow morning, it's got to be done in the next day or so, and urge them to sign the discharge petition. They've got to get 50 signatures here in the next couple of days. And then, despite the speaker trying to kill it, it will force a floor vote. We can circumvent the pro-death crowd, but it's going to take God's people calling, contacting your state representative. Say, well, how do I contact them? Let me give you two things that you can do. One, go to Ohio Christian Alliance website at ohioca.org. That's the ohioca.org. And look there on the front page to the breaking news, a call for action on HJR 1, Safeguarding Ohio's Constitution is a Must. And there's a call to action there. Click there. There's a link to find your state representative. Or you can go to ohiohouse.gov. That's ohiohouse.gov. Find your state representative there. There, you just follow the tabs that are on there. They even have a great little contact form for your representative where you enter your name and their, you know, all your information there so they know who you are and whether or not you're a constituent. And you enter the subject that you're talking about, and then you can just put a message there urging them to support, to sign the discharge petition for HJR 1. And it's got to take place this week. It's got to be done so that it'll come to a floor vote this week, and that way we can get it on the ballot in August and have a good chance of defeating the pro-death movement's effort to put abortion on demand into the Ohio Constitution in November. All right. Well, I wanted that to be short. It wasn't as short as I thought it was going to be, but I just wanted to get that information out there and appreciate your patience and pray for that discharge petition. All right, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. 888-677-9673 is our number. And let me get Terry first here. Terry, thank you for patiently waiting. Welcome to the program tonight.
Good evening, Pastor Al.
Good evening. Happy Orthodox Easter to you. Today is Orthodox Easter, as opposed to last week, Easter.
I didn't know too much about that.
Yeah, that's okay. It gives you a good excuse to celebrate the resurrection of Christ twice, huh? But, yeah.
Every day, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that's true. Every day should be a celebration of the resurrection of Christ in a Christian's life, so a believer's life.
Yeah, that's the one thing that every person, in order to become a believer, they have to believe in the
right.
resurrection.
That's so important. Paul said if it didn't take place, we might as well just eat, drink, and be merry.
Yeah, he said that, yeah. He said we're more really miserable.
Mm-hmm.
We don't, and be, yeah. I was going to bring up one reason why I believe that once saved, always saved.
Yes.
Okay, I've been studying quite a bit in Leviticus, and people that say that you're not saved once God saves you, should mm-hmm. study Leviticus, because the Leviticus, the priests, in order to enter into the Holy of Holies,
mm-hmm.
they had to have their garments cleaned and their body cleaned. They had to be perfectly clean before
right.
they went into the Holy of Holies. And if they didn't, they'd die.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people don't understand. Like, Jesus cleansed us,
right?
Washed our sins, washed the sins away. If Jesus didn't do that, there's no way that we could enter into the Holy of Holies.
And not only did he cleanse us when he washed our sins away when we got saved, according to 1 John chapter 1, he's continuing to cleanse us because it says in verse 6, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. And the implication there is it's an ongoing cleansing as opposed to a one-time cleansing. And people who believe that you can lose your salvation think it's a one-time cleansing, and it's an ongoing.
An ongoing cleansing, yeah. But, you know, the cleansing is receiving, that gave us the opportunity to walk into the Holy of Holies.
Yes.
The high priest couldn't walk into the Holy of Holies.
No, not unless they went through that cleansing process.
Went through that cleansing process.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and without the Holy Spirit, we don't belong to God.
No.
We don't have that cleansing in us. Like the woman at the well, Jesus said, whosoever believes in me, this water they shall drink.
Mm-hmm.
They'll never thirst. They'll live, it'll spring up to everlasting life.
Right. And in fact, And I was just looking over there. He talks about, let me see here, in his discussion with her. Let's see. Oh, I'm in 1 John chapter 4. No wonder I'm not seeing it. I was looking. I think I know it's in chapter 4. And then I realized I was still in 1 John where I was reading before. Let me go back to the Gospel of John here.
I've done that before.
Yeah. But yeah, when he's talking with her and he talks about the living waters, he says this in verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, meaning the physical well. You drink a glass of water, you're thirsty. You drink a glass of water, your thirst is quenched, but eventually you're going to get thirsty again. But then he says this, he says in verse 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him, notice he says, shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And again, you know, the idea, if you could lose your salvation, you're going to thirst again. Jesus said you'll never thirst. If you lose your salvation, Jesus either lied or he didn't know what he was talking about. And I find both of those alternatives to be a little problematic for somebody who claims to be God in the flesh to be either lying or ignorant. And he's neither lying nor ignorant because he means exactly what he said. You will never thirst again because what you need has been taken care of, meaning your sins are forgiven and you are now cleansed and the well of water springing up into everlasting life. A well of water springing up is not like a static well. It's a well where the spring is bubbling up and the water is continuing to come out. And anybody that's ever dealt with a spring, you know that a spring is a lot better than a muddy pool if you have to get water out of it for drinking purposes because it's constantly being refreshed because it's constantly springing up and refreshing the water that's coming out of there. A pool that's static, you know, I can dig a hole in my backyard and put a liner in it, you know, and pour water in it. Well, after a while, it's going to accumulate dirt and mud and sticks and leaves, and then there'll be chicken feathers and all who knows what else in it, and it's going to get dirty and stagnant. But if I dug a hole in my yard and I hit a spring and that water kept bubbling up, you know, it washes that stuff away. It's constantly being refreshed, and that's the picture he gives here. You know, I want a salvation that's constantly being refreshed, that's constantly bubbling up. I don't want something static that gets dirty and filthy. And I want what Jesus said that I can have. And that's a spring of everlasting water bubbling up, or everlasting life bubbling up.
Amen. And you know, there's one thing, I think it's in Timothy, there's one thing that God cannot do. He cannot lie.
Yes, he cannot lie. And
I read it in Timothy, I think chapter 1 or 2 or something. I read that.
Yeah, there's actually, I think, two places that talks about God cannot lie. And one of them, of course, there in, actually, it's not Timothy, it's Titus, or Jesus. I'm sorry, Paul's writing to Titus in Titus chapter 1 in verse number 2. It says, in the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. And that's a pretty definite statement there, isn't it? God that cannot lie. You know, back you were in...
Once he makes a covenant, he keeps to his covenant.
Yeah,
he's going to turn around and say, oh, sorry, you blew it.
Yeah, he's not going to promise you eternal life and then take it away from you. Now, of course, you know, people say, well, you take it away from yourself. Well, I'm sorry. Over there in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 14, John chapter 10, he makes it pretty clear in verse 28 where Jesus says, and I give unto them eternal life, which by definition means it's never going to end. If it could end, it's not eternal. And some people think the best that you get is the potential for eternal life. But even that's problematic because God, who cannot lie, if he said you have eternal life, but he knew that you were going to lose your salvation and die without salvation and go into a Christless eternity, eternal death, then he would know that even though he gave you eternal life, you didn't get eternal life because it wasn't eternal, it ended. And so that would be, again, either a lie or ignorance on the Lord's part, and I find both of those options problematic. He also says, and they shall never perish, which is a pretty strong statement, meaning that if God knew that you'd get saved today, but tomorrow you'd lose your salvation and perish without him, he would be either lying or ignorant when he said you'd never perish, because, you know, he would know if you're going to perish or not. If you could lose your salvation, he knew that you were going to lose your salvation, but promised that you would never perish, he's either ignorant or lying again. And then, of course, he says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I had somebody tell me one time, well, I can take myself out of God's hand. I can choose not to be saved if I want to. It says, neither can any man. I'm just a man. I can't pluck myself out of God's hand no more than you can pluck me out of God's hand. Nobody can. And
once God gets a hold of us, he's not going to let us go.
He's not going to let go. Exactly. I
believe there's one thing I was going to mention, too.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, there's no way for a person to get to the Son unless the Father draws him.
Exactly. And, you know, that brings up a couple of things. We were talking about this today. I was preaching in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 today. And we were talking about you must be born again, whosoever believeth in the name, or believeth, you know. We were talking about that in familiar passages there when he says that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, it's a strong statement there, and so many people think you either have to be on the Calvinist end of the belief, meaning that the only people who get saved are people that God created to be saved, and everybody else is created to populate the lake of fire for all eternity, and if you were created as a person whose destiny is to populate the lake of fire, you're never going to get saved because it's not possible. And if you're created to populate heaven, then you'll get saved regardless of whether you want to or not. In fact, God will make you want to because you're part of the chosen few. And so that's the Calvinist extreme, which is in error. And then, of course, the Arminian extreme is in the error in the opposite direction, which they get it right that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, whosoever believeth in him. They get that part, whosoever. You know, the Calvinists say, well, whosoever the elect, which makes no sense because if you're of the elect, all of the elect are going to get saved. Whosoever implies some won't, which would make this a nonsensical statement if Calvinism is correct. But the Arminian side believes that you can choose to be saved, whosoever believeth. And later in Romans, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They believe that whosoever is, and they believe that's correct, whosoever, it's for anybody. But the problem is they also believe whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord or whosoever believeth can also unbelieve, you know, can also reject him and not be saved. But that part's not available because when he said that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life, he means exactly that. You put your faith in him, he saves you, and he says categorically, you will never perish. You have everlasting life. And just before that, in verse 15, it says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Calvinism and Arminianism are opposite in many respects, but they're both erroneous man-made systems. We want the biblical system. If you think about a triangle with the biblical position at the top of whosoever will, and when you trust Christ as your Savior, you're never going to lose your salvation. That's the biblical position. Hey, we're out of time this half hour. Stay tuned. We've got our hour to go.